My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Today in Seattle. Which, real quick, they did have a baseball game right next to it because the stadiums are right next to each other. They had a baseball game right before the Seahawks game. And I think that contributed a little bit to it because there were a lot of people in Giants gear, which threw you off because you saw the orange and you thought they were Browns fans, they were Giants fans. And so I think that that contributed to it a little bit. It was packed. Stadium was like,
it sounded like it was almost full. A regular season game.
Yeah. Man. Like there were a couple of spots. There were a couple of blotches up in the upper deck that was a little open, but
was Spencer, the baseball game early?
It was earlier.
Like a 4 o'clock game. So you could probably double dip and get in for a decent price.
Yeah. Like that's, but it got loud. Holy Jesus. It loud in here. My God.
That came through on TV. Like watching at home, it sounded like it was a regular season game.
We had a fourth down, the one where Winston overshot Jamari Thrash in the corner.
Zone. Yeah,
and it was like, I was like, you can feel it here. This is loud. It keeps the sound in. They talk about how loud it is. It was a loud stadium. But either way, the Browns lost on Saturday. Kevin Stefanski was asked in the post game, well, why didn't you play Deshaun Watson?
With Deshaun, just with considerations to the guys who were out on offense, not just the offensive line, but just didn't feel like it would be best to put him out there in this setting. Very, very confident in the amount of work that he's gotten to date throughout the spring and summer. He'll be ready to roll week one.
And this is basically another reasoning why.
Our guys are competitors. And like I told you guys, you always have to take all the information that comes in. And just, he's played in the preseason before, but just I felt like in this situation with the guys who are going to be unavailable, just felt like it was best for him to rest.
Could he have proven anything to anybody on Saturday? Could he have proven 216-474-0092? Could Watson have proven anything to you on Saturday? Could he have changed your mind on Saturday? Could he have done any of that? Is there any, because I'm not defending the lead up to it. I'm not defending telling people on Monday before the Vikings game that he was going to play the next Saturday against Seattle. I don't think it was handled as well as it should have been handled. I don't think that anything should have been said on any of this stuff, because then the next week when you hear about general soreness, then you get worried about it. And I think a lot of people rightfully so, because if he can't play, how am I supposed to calm anybody down? Because if he can't play, we're not going anywhere. I can't expect lightning to strike twice here. And so a lot of people are looking for any sort of a reason to get excited about his play. And I think a lot of people, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that he is not going to play, and he's not going to play exceptionally well, and that there's going to be a problem with this. But I don't think that Saturday would have proven anything to anybody.
No, and I late in the week I was saying that too. Like, is 15 plays estimating 15 plays. I don't know. I forget how many plays Jameis ended up sort of playing with the ones in totality, even though it wasn't really the ones. It was like a shell of the ones because I think only like five guys or three guys, whatever, played.
Yes.
But yeah, like I don't think that 15 to 20 plays is going to be the difference between Deshaun starting guns ablaze in week one and starting slow like he kind of did last year. Do the reps help? Of course, from a standpoint of like getting the game speed and all that. But I'm with you where I think people kind of were going into the season with their expectations for Deshaun anyway. And I don't know that Saturday would have changed things. Now, that said, I do think fans, especially Browns fans, they look for those little nuggets to get excited about, and they want a reason to be excited about this team. I think they want a reason to be excited about Deshaun and still believe that he's that guy. So had he played, and had he played well, say he leads like two touchdown drives, I think that would have, even though people wouldn't have probably used it as like the end-all be-all, I think it would have maybe flipped something where people could kind of sit back and say, okay, well, he looked pretty good in those series. Maybe the offense is going to be okay. Would have given him a little bit of better feeling about maybe the direction things are going to go when the season starts.
216-474-0092. Could Watson have proven anything to you personally by him playing on Saturday? The only thing I think that he could have proven at all was that, and this is becoming a harder narrative, and Owen, I think you're champing at the bit over there. Let me say this first, though, because maybe you're thinking the same thing I am. The only thing I think it could have done was proven to people that he definitely wants to play. Yeah. It's becoming a harder and harder thing for me to defend. Like, after the preseason, I can't say anything else. Like, I believe he wants to be out there. I believe he wants... Football players like to play football, and I believe that he wants to be out there playing football, and he understands. I think he is acutely aware of the criticism that's thrown his way. I think he does care as much as he said he didn't in the early part of the preseason about caring about any of the criticism that's there. I do not think that's true at all. I think he does care about that.
I think the fact that he reacted the way he did tells you he cares.
And I think that it bothers him. But after now that the preseason is over and we're getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys, like that all goes out the window. So if there's frustration, if there's rust, which that's something people definitely do not want to hear about whatsoever.
I'm expecting it's going to be a slow start for him, but I can't use the rust thing anymore. Like we've done that 2 years in a row. We just watched Joe Flacco last year rise from the ashes off his couch and come out and like start slinging it his first week he was playing in like week 12 of the season.
Well, there could be rust. It's just not going to be understandable. You don't have time. There's no time for it. So, he could go out there and be rusty against Dallas in two weeks.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But
that's not
going to matter to anybody.
I'm not going to sit here and like let that be an excuse for him, though. Like, if he makes it an excuse, fine, I guess, whatever. But like, I'm just not accepting that anymore.
Owen?
No, I think he could have proved that he was ready to play. I don't think he has to look crisp and, you know, every pass being sharp and every pass on target. But I think there's a lot to read into the body language of after a drive, not only, and part of that is the does he want to play factor, right? But so you can see if a drive doesn't go the way he wanted to, how does he react coming off the field? How are we seeing him on the sideline shots and what's he doing in between series? But I think part of it, just to calm down the, it's been since what, November of last year?
Yeah.
That
mid-November.
We've seen him, that we've actually seen him on a football field playing a football game. And I think it would have done a lot just to make people go, okay, he's at least ready to go week one, and we're not going to get the whole, three and out. Well, my bad. You know, the first two or three series are going to take me a minute to get back into it type of thing.
That's the only thing I could have thought about. But I think that anybody who thinks that he's not a good quarterback anymore, it is not going to play well.
Yeah, it's not going to change.
I don't think any of those minds are going to be changed over that game on Saturday. 216-474-0092. Frank in Gatesville, you're first up on the Fan.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, Frank.
It's not that I don't think he's a good quarterback. Huh? It's that I don't know if he's a good quarterback any longer, because when I've watched him play, he looks uncomfortable, and that's what I wanted to see on Saturday. I guess he's ready to go, according to Coach Stefanski. He's ready to go, so I don't expect to see any rust.
Frank, everybody's calls are breaking
everybody
up.
Everybody driving in the same
place? What the hell's going on with the cell phones?
Well, if you look at the overcast right now, the 5-day forecast and the barometric
pressure. It's 2024. What the hell? 216-474-0092.
Come on.
The only thing I could take
Give
away from
six.
That, I wanted to keep Frank. That's why I'm so upset that the phone call broke up. Is if he would have played on Saturday and checked all those boxes that Frank was just talking about, would that have changed his mind at all for the regular season? Like, I think a lot of people already have their ideas of how he's going to play. And if you don't know, you're probably going to skew towards the negative, because if you don't know, if I don't know, how do I expect you to play to such a high level? That's only on hope, and that's only on something that you can't see. So we're not talking about that type of faith. I'm saying, what can I actually prove? Well, if he were out there, then I still think a lot of people would have said, well, it's a vanilla defense. You're not going to really see a whole bunch. What are you going to get from that? There's not going to be nothing from it. So I think that people's preconceived notions are already further than what anything he could have proven on Saturday. So now I just have to wait. And there's, and Spencer, there's no conversation. You mentioned it. There's no conversation about rust. I can mention rust, but that it's just not an excuse. There's no excuse about not knowing the offense. There's no excuse about the offensive line. There's plenty of guys who got to go out there with tattered offensive lines or offensive lines that aren't as good as what they previously were. Hey, just got to get rid of the ball quicker. You're going to have to move the ball down the field and get rid of the ball quicker, and you're going to have to use everything that you have to get a win with this football team every single Sunday that you do it, because you're going to be judged solely, and it looks more and more for Deshaun Watson. His career hangs in the balance based on this season. His money's taken care of, clearly, but how he's seen as a, how he's seen by this fan base, by the NFL populace, the fans in general, a lot of that hinges on what's coming this season.
Well, and I think, like, this is why the conversation, we kind of tell on ourselves as fans a little bit here. Like, Frank kind of did this a little bit, where it's like, he says he wanted to see Deshaun go out there and operate the offense well and play, but that's assuming he's going to do those things. If he doesn't do those things, and the reason I say I think the fan base kind of tells on itself, like you said, Ken, people would have been calling in the day like, well, this is all going to go to hell. The offense sucks. Deshaun sucks. He's never going to get back to that quarterback he was. Like, those are the calls we're taking if he doesn't play well in a preseason game. And like Owen brings up, like, he could have at least proved that he wants to be out there. I agree with that. But even you said, Owen, like, he throws a couple passes, even if they're not great passes. I still think people would have read into that and been like, well, this guy just sucks. Even if it's the priest, it's like, oh, well, they're not really going against the defense, and he still can't complete the passes. So I do think, like, there was more to lose for him than actually to gain. And
well, I haven't seen him bow or snap a towel. Sorry, whatever we're actually calling the thing he does with the towel. But I'd like to see it with footballs on the field. I don't even care if he completes it or not.
That's fair. I think if you have like a level headedness to how he's progressing and coming back, I think that's fair. But I think there's a lot of fans who are just like, They're looking at everything. And any
we're
little thing.
We're past level-headedness
right,
with
yeah,
Deshaun
exactly.
Watson.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, he does one thing wrong. I'm so out on him already that I'm just going to pile on.
216-474-0092. Could Watson have proven anything to you on Saturday? I say no. I say there's nothing that he could have done. I don't care if he would have thrown for two touchdowns. I think that there's nothing that he could have done that would have proven anything different to anybody out there. If you're a lover or you're a hater, I don't think it would have changed anybody's mind, good or bad, depending on what he would have done in that game. I got to tell you, though, I just opened up this website. So you have Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, and Tyler Huntley making the team. You have Tyler Huntley instead of DTR?
I think they're going to shop DTR.
You think they're going to shop him?
Yeah. Zach Jackson said the same thing last week.
He said he was told that I could disagree with both of you. I don't care. Sports Illustrated.
I think that of the two, DTR had the better preseason until like the 11th hour when Huntley obviously had his great third and fourth quarter on Saturday.
That was enough to keep Tyler Huntley instead.
But from what I understand, the organization seems to favor, I guess, Huntley. And I think they maybe like.
I think
his
they really.
Fit.
I don't think DTR is going anywhere. I think that they really like DTR. I think that they really like him.
I think they like DTR too. But I
got to tell you, I'm surprised.
Andrew Berry, we know he likes to swing some deals, get draft capital back. You're going to get more for DTR than you're going to get for Huntley. I mean, one of those guys is getting traded for sure.
When did you publish this? This was 16 hours ago.
Yesterday.
Because you had asked. I thought this came out just immediately because you had asked me if I thought David Bell was going to make the team. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I think a lot of people are saying, a lot of people within the organization are like, oh, yeah, he's going to make the team. And then I'm just like, man, I don't see it the way that some of the other people do about David Bell.
I mean, I think similar to how we're talking about DTR.
In terms of their love.
I think they like David Bell. They don't want to give up on a third-round pick so soon because we know Barry's not really wanted to do that. But at the same time, it's always hard, Ken. Like, when you're a player who doesn't practice much this time of year, and this is maybe a point to why the preseason does matter for some people, maybe on the back end of the roster, and you give, like, a limited sample size in preseason games – it's hard for me to like make the case for you sometimes. Like I've even argued, like, is Nyheim Hines safe on this team? I mean, Bubba Ventrone's talked about how important he is to them as like from a returner standpoint. But I think what you've seen from Pierre Strong as a returner, he can do a lot of the same stuff that Hines does, and Hines hasn't practiced yet. We thought Hines was going to be practicing August 1st. So I just think anybody who isn't, you know, we know like Dalvin Tomlinson, he hasn't practiced all of training camp, but he's safe. Like, he's an important piece of this team.
Yeah.
Anybody who's like, you know, down the depth chart, back into the roster, a bubble guy. I don't have D'Anthony Bell making the team because he hasn't practiced all camp, and he's been on the bubble the last 2 years. So I just find it hard sometimes with those specific players to figure out whether or not they're going to make it or not.
I got to tell you, other than that, I don't see a lot of I can't. But I'm surprised you have Tyler Huntley instead of DTR. I'm going to pick DTR to make the team as far as guessing or whatever. I'm surprised you got Tyler Huntley there. And there's like one spot where I don't know. They implore you that they love David Bell.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't see it with him. I like David Bell a lot. I just don't feel the love. I feel they say it, but I don't feel they feel it when they say it. You could tell anybody you love them, whether you mean it or not. That means something to you. Everything else, I'm like, okay, yeah, JOK, Jordan Hicks, Mahmoud Diabate, Devin Bush, Tony Fields, Devin Bush, who was called Devin Bust famously by Andrew Filippone, he says it's the clearest defense he's ever played on. Yeah. He said everything is specific for him.
He's going to be a special teamer for them. That's important.
That's the way it should have been done. So there's a lot here that I tend to agree with. I think a lot of it's common sense. I'm just surprised you put Tyler Huntley on that.
Got to be bold somewhere, you know?
That's pretty bold.
Well, especially with a roster that we know. We know, like, let's be honest. Like, we know about like 43 spots are like locked in already. It's like the last 10 that you're kind of toiling with. So I don't know. Add a little fun to the quarterback spot.
I'd be willing to kick around. I would be willing to think that by the end of tomorrow, I'd say Tyler Huntley would be on the move, and I would say that one of the places. Not that I've heard anything. I haven't. One of the places that I think that he might end up is either the Chargers, because I think Easton Stick has just been kind of sloppy throughout
Vikings,
this, ever since he got that chance.
Vikings is traded for someone.
I was thinking more maybe Philadelphia as well, because Kenny Pickett is just, I think he's broken. I don't know what's going on with that guy.
Maybe the Dolphins, because they just got rid of Mike White.
Yeah, they did, but they have Skylar Thompson there. Like, who wants to give? Does anybody want to give up a seventh round pick for a third quarterback? Maybe.
I was getting
plus a salary, which is like 1.1.
You mentioned how Jameis didn't look so good on Saturday. I was getting some calls yesterday from people who suggested that maybe they actually trade Jameis Winston.
Huntley and DTR.
Jameis
Winston ain't going nowhere.
I mean, I agree with you. I don't think he's going anywhere, but that was a suggestion from fans.
No, Jameis isn't going anywhere.
They view Jameis.
He was rough on Saturday. I don't disagree with what anybody said.
Here's the reason they're not trading Jameis, though. He's more to them than just a backup quarterback. I think he's a mentor to Deshaun. They view him as a very important piece in that locker room. Mm-hmm. I think the whole Jameis Winston thing and signing him and bringing him in this offseason, that was always meant to sort of be like a nice distraction of, hey, pay no attention to the quarterback that we didn't bring back from last year that led the team to the playoffs. You get this guy in the building who's sharing videos every chance he gets. He's giving you the pregame speeches. How quickly we forget about Joe Flacco when we got this guy in the building that we can like. So I think there's a lot of reasons. Marketing and personal and I think just team-wise that they value Jameis Winston.
Jameis has been a real crowd pleaser, and he's got some of the greatest drops in the world.
Consistent growth and just him focusing on his shoulder routine. Intentional leadership of him taking mental reps.
I think that there's I think it's a little bit even more bold than that.
Give a dog a bone.
That one doesn't make this show.
Doesn't make this one. Leave that to Baskin and Phelps. I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. I think that Jameis is doing it exactly like Joe Flacco, I think, was supportive of everybody.
Yeah.
But there was clearly within the fan base, there was clearly a reason why a lot of people like Joe Flacco a whole bunch. I think it let the air up. I think that they could finally, once Deshaun Watson was out for the season, I think that some people kind of fell back in love with him again. Joe Flacco being a former Raven, I think that that had something to do with it in some little sense. And that, plus, we can't sit there and ignore the elephant in the room. There are people that just do not like Deshaun Watson. Yeah. They're never going to root for the guy, and that's the way it is. So once they had Joe Flacco to root for, they wanted to do that all over again. But when Jameis Winston is here, which Jameis's personality is great, his leadership when he has to play can be fun, and I think it sometimes is unorthodox, but I still think it's a lot of fun. But he's done everything that you'd want him to do as a backup quarterback, basically being as much of a cheerleader, mentor, whatever you want to call it, for Deshaun Watson that he possibly can.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Also, the Sando QB tiers are out. We'll talk about those coming up at 8:20 this morning. We finally have the Mike Sando QB tiers out. We'll have to tell you where Deshaun Watson is. It's a huge day in NFL media. Do you think, before we get to the Guardians, do you believe that Deshaun Watson should have played on Saturday?
No, I'm fine with him not playing.
You're fine with him not playing. Does that mean you would have played him? Or are you just fine with him not playing?
Okay, I wanted.
Should he have played on Saturday?
If Spencer
was the question.
German was game planning. Yes. Saturday's
game. If it was up to me, I would have played him because I think all the reps help in terms of. I don't think it would have made a huge difference, but I think it does help. But I'm not like bent out of shape about the fact that he didn't. Is my point.
Say that again.
If I was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, I would have played him.
But you were fine with him not playing, even though it would have been your own decision.
But I've kind of...
Because I wouldn't have played him, and I was waffling back and forth, I'll admit, when we had Brian Hoyer on and a couple other ex-NFLers who are, former NFLers. Brian's technically still in the NFL, but you get what I'm saying. That didn't sound good. Either way. You had a bunch of guys who have played in the NFL who are like, yeah, players like to play, go ahead and play him. And that kind of started to flip me on it, but my original intention was not to play him in the preseason. So perfectly, I'm fine with him not playing in the preseason, except for the arguments that I'm going to give him an excuse about rust. I'm not going to give him an excuse about rust on Monday, the Monday after the Cowboys game. What you see is what you're going to get. And if he doesn't play well, then we have to say he doesn't play well because we're out of every single excuse that we have because it's been 4.5 years since he's played at a consistent, exceptional level. So if you think he should have played, then you should believe, you should be telling me that you believe the Browns made a mistake by not playing him. Is what you should be telling me.
But I don't think that they made a mistake in not playing him because I understand the thought process behind
not playing
him. Yeah,
but if you were the head coach of the Browns, you wouldn't just throw your hands up and say, bah, you guys figure it out. I don't think you would have done that. At least it's not Rudy when they decided whether or not he was going to make the scout team. So you believe that they might have made a mistake by not playing him on Saturday? Because you would have played him.
I wouldn't take it to the level of thinking that they made a mistake. I understand the thought process behind not playing him, especially from their perspective where they're thinking, like, this guy just got hurt, all these different things. I'm just saying from a standpoint of, like, those reps, every rep helps. So I think that it would have.
So you would have played him. So if every rep helps and he didn't get those reps, then isn't it a mistake to not give him those reps?
I don't think it's a mistake that they didn't give him the reps because I think he's going to.
Yeah, but then you said every rep counts and that you would have played him.
Every rep helps, yes. But I'm also like in a point where I said, I don't think 15 plays is going to be the difference between starting really well and starting really poorly. I just think like if he had gotten those reps, it would have been at least a little bit.
But if you don't give him those reps and every rep counts and he's your number one quarterback, he's the most important of the quarterbacks there, then it would be a mistake then, Spencer, to not play him in that game when every rep counts and every rep matters.
I know what you're trying to do.
I know exactly what I'm trying to do. But I can't I can't say it's no big deal. I said don't play him. I don't need to worry about anything. You're the one saying that he should have played, but I don't have any evidence back that you really feel that way.
Ultimately, I don't think it matters that he played because I think what he's going to be week one is what he's going to be. I don't think, again, those 15 to 20 plays would have mattered. But if I was the head coach, I would have put him out there just to get the 15 plays or whatever because I do think those reps help. But my thing is, I think we try to get tied too much up in those plays or him playing in this game or that game or whatever would have made the difference in how he's going to look. I don't think that's true. I just think, like, yes, those reps help. Every rep helps. But I don't necessarily think that he needed to play because I think what he's going to be week one is what he's going to be week one.
I really don't think I should let you out of this, but I kept telling people that I had to talk Guardians, and I wanted to, so I'm going to let you out of this. But I think that your answer you're giving me is not a good answer. I do not like this answer, Spencer. Because you can't, if you felt that he should have played, then you should be telling me that it's a mistake.
I don't feel that he shouldn't have played. I'm just saying, like, if they put him out there, it would have been fine. Like, okay, but I don't think it makes a difference.
It wouldn't have been fine if they would have put him out there with Jermaine Ifedi getting his first snaps. I think he had, what, 4 career snaps at left tackle before all this? I don't think that would have been fine. I don't think it would have been fine to have Zach Zinter moved from the left side or from the right side to the left side to give him some more experience over there on the offensive line. I don't think it would have been fine to put him out there with no. And I love Jamari Thrash, but Jamari Thrash, Marion Brown, and not Jerry Jeudy. The Elijah Moore was out there, or Amari Cooper, or David Njoku. I don't think that would have been. I don't think it would have been right to put him out there with those guys.
Do you think if he would have been out there, those guys would have played though? Like, do you think Amari would have played? Jeudy would have played?
No, I don't think they had any plan. After Amari Cooper limped off the field
in the joint practice,
that was it for him. Elijah Moore is a different story. Somebody had to play wide receiver, and they felt obviously he needed some more seasoning there. That was a little bit of a surprise. Jerry Jeudy, you knew Jerry Jeudy wasn't going to play in the preseason. He's not playing. Not played at all this. I think the moment they traded for him and signed him, nobody thought he was going to play in the preseason, so I wasn't surprised by that. But with those two guys, and then David Njoku not playing, which he's never going to play in the preseason, and then what you had with the offensive line, no, I did not think it was a great idea to put Deshaun Watson out there in a game on the road in the final preseason game. And it's not just about whether or not he could get hurt. It's the quality of the rep that I'm going to get. He is not going to, unless things do not go right for the wide receivers, he's not going to start off the season throwing to Jamari Thrash. Right. He's not going to start off the season throwing to Michael Woods II or Matt Landers or anybody else out there. So if we're talking about reps, the quality of the rep matters. And for the number one guy, I don't think that that's really going to matter there. See, when we look at Jameis Winston, we said that he was rough, and I do think that he was rough. Remember, the left side is what the problem was with Jermaine Ifedi. Go back to the very beginning of the game. He gets sacked on a stunt, which was perfectly executed, by the way, by the Seahawks. Give them credit, because it comes in from the left side. So that's not Jameis Winston there. That's Deshaun Watson if he starts that game. That's right. Why. Yeah. That's why I'm like, well, you should probably back that up if you think that he should have played.
I see what you're saying.
Damn right you do. All right, I got Stephen Vogt here from yesterday. I want to listen to this. This is what Stephen Vogt had to say after the Guardians' big 4-2 win over the Texas Rangers, where Stephen Vogt was asked a question, is the Royal Series, which is starting today, is it a big one for this team?
Oh, they're all big. Every series is a big series. Every win is a big win. That's how we do it. We take it day to day, and we're playing good baseball. We were playing fine baseball when we were going through the stretch, just weren't scoring enough runs to win. So we're going to keep our cadence, and that's focus on every single day. And every game is big. Every series is big.
Did David Fry was asked about this series coming up against the Royals. This is what David Fry had to say.
Outside looking in, yeah, you're like, oh, big series, four games and division's tied or whatever, but we treat it as 162. Our goal is to get to the postseason and win a World Series. It's not, we got to beat the Royals or beat the Twins. So we're going to do what we do every single day and try to win a series.
For them, they have to try to win every single series, and it's every single series is a big series. That's fine. I think for the fans, this is the biggest series of the year. I was wrong last week when I said that they saved their season against the Yankees. It was maybe a foolhardy thing to say. I think I was getting nervous. I think a lot of fans are getting nervous. The reaction I got over the weekend about them beating the Texas Rangers, which is a 60-71 team, and I could sit there and say defending World Series champions, but that doesn't matter in the month of August anyway. I think that this is the series of the year for them. They're three games up on both these teams. They have a doubleheader today. You have Nick Sandlin starting things out in the opener. Then I believe you should have Logan Allen in the nightcap, if I'm not mistaken.
Lord, that's what some websites say.
Okay. You can't confirm it all together, but it seems to be that way. I think this is the biggest series of the year. I think a lot of people have been waiting for the other shoe to drop, Spencer.
I think they saved their season. You mentioned the Yankee series last week, and I kind of felt similarly. That game on Monday or Tuesday last week was awesome. I think they saved their season this weekend. Because if you lose the first game and then it was like, okay, if they lose this one, this could really start taking a tumble here in September. But then you lead into this Royals series. I said it yesterday, like, you have a chance now. There's two teams that are on your tail, the Twins and the Royals. You got one series left against the Twins. You play seven games against the Royals over the next basically 2 weeks. You have a chance to really sort of bury them in the division and build a lead big enough that you can then kind of coast away from them, and then you just got to worry about the Twins. It can be a confidence boost for this team. I think it is, to your point, like to the season at this point, it's the biggest series, yes.
Take five. We're faster than you think. That means we'll change your oil and have you back on the road faster than it takes for your half-calf heavy cream mocha latte to get cold. Just sit back and relax while our fast, friendly team does all the work. Take five. The stay-in-your-car 10-minute oil change. Appointments now available at participating locations.
Heavy congestion 90 east from West 117th to 71. Light traffic volume eastbound on 480 from 71 to Northfield. This is Joe Cecchi for 92.3 The Fan.
Hi, Browns fans. This is head coach Kevin Stefanski. Your radio home for Cleveland Browns football is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Denny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
When someone decides that they are going to recline their seat on an airplane, should I say something to them if they're directly in front of me?
I think you are more than within your right to say something to them.
Should I be bothered by it?
Yes.
When someone does
yes.
it?
Yes. It should be. Now, the thing about common sense is it's not as common as we think, but it should be common sense that when you're flying on a plane, you don't recline the seat. Those things are tight as they are already.
Then why do they have a recliner?
I mean, I think that when they designed these planes, they thought it would be a convenience thing for people, but
it's not.
That's what I mean.
I feel bad if I recline my seat.
That's what I'm saying.
And then I get agitated at the person who reclined their seat in
Wait,
front of me.
This was
especially
on the,
if that person is a friend of mine.
This was on the Browns charter, right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh man, we should
even
some
say.
Fun with this.
I shouldn't even say.
Can
especially,
we guess who this person was?
If you'd like to, go right on ahead. I didn't really anticipate on
Nathan
saying
Zagura?
It. How did you know that right off the very beginning? How did you know that off the very beginning?
I'm going to be honest. I made a list of people that it could be.
So Nathan's a tall guy.
I thought it might be Jet Wells.
Well, you just blew a whole new segment that we had, but here we go. Spencer's power rank those people you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, who did you think it was going to be? I wasn't sitting anywhere near the players. Don't you worry about that.
Well, that ruins the list because a bunch of them were players. I was trying to think of players that were reclining their seat.
Nah, not in front of me.
Mike Vrabel?
I wouldn't have said anything to Mike Vrabel. I didn't say anything to Nathan. I really wouldn't have said anything to Mike Vrabel.
You want to wear your ass back to Cleveland, then you can.
I don't think he came on the road.
I put Siaki Ika on there, too.
He doesn't go on the road.
Thought maybe he was going to enjoy the flight.
It might have been Siaki Ika's last road trip with the Cleveland Browns. We'll find
that
out by tomorrow.
I better kick my feet up because I don't know if I'm making this team.
So if somebody puts their seat back, do I say something to them? Should I be offended that they even did? Because it does. It does feel like an invasion of personal space.
Well, I wonder if the question is if you should be offended or it's clear that you were offended.
Should I say something to them?
So I think it's more of a flies with honey or flies with vinegar situation. Are you should you how should you take the tact of Did of the fact telling that- them that you need them to put because well, there's a leg on hey you know you're putting a tray right in my right in my gullet here, I, gotta, I need you to put that up or there's a way of going hey dude like let's get it up now I'm censoring it obviously for the air
yeah of course so I played all those scenarios out of my head because he did have it I was on the window Clay Weiss was in the was right behind him and he I noticed wall. He had his seat reclined on the way over there and on the way back I decided to take an aisle seat, frankly, because I had had a lot of liquids throughout the game, and I'm figuring I'm going to have to get up and go to the bathroom a bunch of times. I'm not going to keep trying to scoop past Clay. Clay does not use the bathroom at all. I don't think he's ever gone and used the bathroom break in the history of his life.
Clay's a vet at this. Yeah. He's been doing it since we got the Browns.
So yeah. I decided
he's got
to switch
a bag
up.
Attached to him.
I decided to switch up with him, and I would sit. But then Nate put his seat back, and I'm going, huh. And I go, okay, do I ask politely for him to put his seat up? But then he's going to think, well, why? What if he says no? What if he says he's not going to put his seat up?
It's also
then there's
what
a
time?
Rift between me and him. Oh, it's late.
It's sleeping
it's
late. Time.
It's midnight their time by the time we took off. Yeah, it was late. It's
night
time. Did
the fact that Nathan expensed a very expensive dinner for you have any was that any reason why you decided
well, I didn't
not
talk
to
about
like,
that
well,
on the air yet, but that probably know, had something no, to brought, do with it in up. My subconscious. Not on the air. Oh. It probably had something to do in my subconscious that yeah, he paid for a very expensive dinner. Probably had something to do with that. I would feel
like,
ungrateful
well,
for that.
We had a nice trip, you know. But I don't want to.
Do you tell a stranger? Because this is a friend, and I don't want a friend. I mean, he comes on the show every Friday. I don't want, and obviously this is going to get brought up with him because I said nothing to him on the flight back. So should I have said something to him, Owen?
No, I think the time of the flight plays a factor into it. It's Betty Bye's time. Everybody knows it. It's also a charter flight and not a... You're going to have to see these people again. Obviously, you're going to see Nathan again. Obviously, yeah. You're going to do things with him pregame. Obviously, you're going to talk to him every Friday on this show at 9 a.m. It's going to be a great time. And because of those things... I don't think you say anything.
But, like, I was on the way down. Even when I was on the way down for Liz and I's cruise in May, a guy in front of me put his seat back. And I'm like, how do you not care? Well, I could tell by the way he moved that he had back problems, so he had my sympathy. But I'm like, how do you not care about...
Did he have a note from his doctor said he needed a backiotomy?
It's a very good point. I'm like, how do you not care about the person's personal space behind you?
Then
I got mad at the airline. I go, how is it in 2024 where everybody's fighting at the drop of the hat? That's all you see on all the social media.
This is where I think you're wrong, though, because I just took a flight to Minneapolis, and the airline that I was on told you up front, these are limited recline seats. They did not recline. And believe me, after I'd sat in that airport in Minneapolis for, you know, 6 hours past my 10 p.m. flight and was flying in the middle of the night, I really wanted some reclinage there, and I did not get any of it.
See, and I got to tell you, I think it's better for everybody involved. I think it stops a lot of bad feelings, a lot of argument. You feel like your personal space is not as important as the other person's personal space. Why do you get an extra 6 inches and I don't get an extra 6 inches? And I think it causes a problem.
Well, that's why I feel like you were within your right to say something. Whether it's somebody you know or somebody you don't know, I think you're within your right. But the reason I feel that way is because, like, at this, reclining your seat is known as one of the more disrespectful things you can do on a plane. Like, I think you have more reason to be upset than, like, Nathan would from you saying, hey, you know, do you mind moving your seat up? I don't have a lot of room.
So you're saying he's being disrespectful to me.
That's right. Nathan Nathan Zagura, the most disrespectful flyer in the Cleveland Browns organization.
Is he on this Friday?
Did he stand up before the, did he try to move into the aisle when the plane landed?
No.
Like, I'm not saying he did all that stuff.
Actually, I don't know if the rules apply on those flights.
The rules don't apply on those flights, then I guess you have no argument then, Ken.
I will say it was cool just when the second the players got on, we were gone. It was just like, whoop, we're going. That's it. It was great. Both times. As soon as they're on, you're going.
Somebody who can sleep on a plane, Ken?
I had to the other night. I was dying. The other night before, or the day on
the
way there.
It's hard to sleep in the aisle seat, though.
I'll finish it up with this. On the way there, it was any sense of turbulence, I thought I was just going to die. So it was like, I was very nervous about it. I did fall asleep, but I got jarred awake by the turbulence, and I thought we were in a terrible scenario. That did scare me. Other than that, it was a delightful time.
Denzel in flight?
Yes.
Snakes on a plane, Samuel Jackson comes out.
I was about to say, someone get this guy some vodka and cocaine real quick. We got to save this thing. Are Guardians fans waiting for the other shoe to drop? Because I can't believe the responses that I got. And I think it's a vocal minority. I hope it's a vocal minority. I don't necessarily know if I think it anymore. This is the biggest series of the year coming up against Kansas City. Now, I can't keep saying that because it's going to continue to lose its luster as time goes on. But as of right now, it's the biggest series of the year starting today against Kansas City. I mean, this is as big as it gets.
Now, so you've got a lot of people in your mentions who are sort of expressing that it sounds like they're kind of waiting for the issue to drop.
They're just waiting for, yeah.
My feeling is maybe they're, I don't know if it's waiting for the shoe to drop, but my feeling was just kind of that it's like a walking on eggshells. Like fans are still, like this weekend, obviously you were in Seattle, but I got the sense, I was here Friday night, I was here Saturday night, pregame show for the game, and then I was here yesterday. The sense that I got was that, like, people were still trying to come out to the games, enjoy themselves, still be positive about this team the best they could, but that they kind of knew there was this, like, you know, elephant in the room of, well, they don't beat Texas. We have to have a serious conversation to get ready for this Royals series. So
yeah, but if they still find a way to stay three games ahead in the division, then am I to make the, because I think they've already overachieved.
Yeah, 100%.
Being a team that's over 70 wins now, still one of the better records in the American League. I know it hasn't been a great week. And yeah, I get it that they've been a 500 team since the All-Star break. But a lot of teams have been a 500 team or sub-500 team since the All-Star break. It seems that everybody's in a swoon. So in a season where I don't believe that anybody's going to win 100 games this year, why do I need to be so dour about things? Like, by now, we kind of know what they are. Their starting pitching is not that great. Their bullpen can, every now and then it's been scattershot, but I think it's been better than what we thought. Emmanuel Clase is a Cy Young guy.
You worry about it burning out by the end of the season.
But a lot of these things were worries before the season started. We worried about all these guys burning out before the start of the season here. And here we are getting towards the end of the season. And yeah, it does feel like they're holding on instead of announcing their presence with authority. But damn it, I don't think that they're dead just because they didn't do very well in New York against the Yankees. Well, what are they going to see in the postseason? I haven't gotten to the postseason yet. So I need to see what they do before they get to the postseason. I got to win games for them to make it to the postseason.
Well, I think another thing that matters too, we are obviously very hyper-focused on the fact that they've been like a 500 baseball team since the All-Star break. But I think we're also forgetting the fact that, like, this has also been about the Twins and the Royals playing really good baseball the second half. I mean, both the Twins and the Royals have better records than any team in the American League West right now. Like, the leader in the American League West is the Astros, and both those teams have a better record than them. So you have like six teams right now with more than like 70 plus wins.
Yes.
And three of them are in your division. So it's about that too. It's not just on the Guardians playing bad baseball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction,
Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.